Erin Flanagan, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Ms. Flanagan, first of all, the Climate Week in New York City, what is this all about in very general terms? How important is this?
Well, Climate Week is an interesting series of events that runs in parallel to the UN General Assembly. The UN has an annual meeting in New York, and that's occurring also this week. Climate Week is a series of side events that brings together governments, industry, academic thought leaders, and NGOs to really talk about climate solutions. So it's very diverse. There's really something for everyone. And it's all about how do we drive continual action on the climate file.
So this is basically influential people discussing ideas, but there are no firm political policies that will come out of Climate Week. Is that right?
Well, I disagree. I mean, it's true that these summits are often criticized as all talk, no action. But I think over the last 2 years after the Paris Agreement was finalized, we've really tipped that narrative on its head. We've seen an incredible amount of progress in the last 2 years. Take Canada as an example. We ratified the Paris Agreement. We then negotiated a new national climate plan. Just yesterday, the Prime Minister announced a new clean energy initiative with the United Kingdom. So increasingly, these international summits, they are about outcomes and they do move the policy needle.
Well, you just mentioned Canada there. And in fact, this past weekend, Canada, China and the EU hosted a climate summit in Montreal. So what was accomplished there?
Well, this was a really interesting forum. So our environment and climate change minister, Catherine McKenna, she co-hosted this event with her counterparts from China and the European Union. This was not a formal negotiating session, so it wasn't technically under the umbrella of the Paris Agreement, which meant that everyone who was around the table could be a little bit more creative and could really talk about their challenges in implementing climate policies and the opportunities that they see for their own countries. So in addition to China and the European Union, Canada had also invited about 35 countries to be represented. So it really brought together all of the major economies. India was there, Russia was there, Japan was there. So it had the feel of an international negotiations, but it was a little bit more informal.
Now, we're expecting to hear from French President Emmanuel Macron at the United Nations General Assembly on climate change this week. Apparently, there's a great deal of anticipation for that.
Well, I expect we'll hear two things from Emmanuel Macron this week. And generally speaking, his address to the UN will be a counterweight to the address from President Donald Trump, because, of course, he is also addressing the UN this week, and Emmanuel Macron will strike a much more optimistic tone than President Trump will. I think that we'll hear from President Macron that he is looking to celebrate the two-year anniversary of the Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement was finalized in November 2015, and he's looking to have a celebration and a summit in Paris to celebrate that anniversary later this year. He's also looking to move forward a broader environmental initiative, a global environmental pact that would not strictly just be about climate change, but would be about biodiversity, would be about air quality and land use, and would really integrate across a number of existing environmental treaties. So this doesn't exist yet, and it's a big idea, and so I expect we'll hear specifics around how he'd like to move that forward.
Now, of course, U.S. President Donald Trump in the past has said they're pulling out of the Paris Agreement. What is the current sort of feeling going on? There seems to be a bit of backtracking on that within the U.S. administration.
Well, it's clear some people in the U.S. administration haven't read the Paris Agreement. They haven't read the fine print. So there is some mixed messages coming from the administration. Of course, there was reporting over the weekend that the U.S. would no longer withdraw from the agreement. This was coming out of the Montreal summit. But that was quickly refuted by the White House. It took only 30 minutes for them to say, no, no, in fact, we are withdrawing from the agreement. Subsequent to that, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson gave a little bit more nuance, and he said that the State Department is interested in exploring conditions under which the U.S. could stay engaged. The Paris Agreement allows for a significant amount of autonomy and flexibility to each country that has ratified the deal. So the U.S. absolutely has the pen to themselves, and they can modify their climate targets if that's what they'd like to do to stay part of the deal. So I think there are a number of scenarios in which the U.S. weakens its ambition but stays in the deal. And I think that's really a question that many people in the global community will be wrestling with this week. Is that a positive outcome for the world?
Is it possible that the general public gets confused by this variety of climate talks? We have climate at the UN, we have climate week in New York, we had the climate summit in Canada, some of which are official, semi-official, and not official at all.
Well, I think the message to the general public from not just the Canadian government or the provinces or the territories, but really from governments around the world, is that this is a very important issue and it deserves political attention and it deserves policy solutions. So absolutely, it's confusing to keep track of this negotiation and that negotiation. But the bigger picture here is that we are living through an enormous change. We are living through the process of shifting from high carbon to low carbon. And that will take some time, some decades, to come to conclusion. But that's the moment that we're living in, and that's why so many politicians are engaged.
Erin Flanagan, we've just had a number of unusually powerful storms battering the Caribbean and the southeastern part of the United States. And, of course, there's been huge and deadly typhoons in Asia. Are you hearing sort of behind the scenes that this kind of thing is being attributed to climate change and therefore adding impetus to these kinds of talks like Climate Week in New York?
Absolutely. And I think it also connects back to your question about the public, because I think the public is looking at these weather events and asking what is going on and what can we do to protect ourselves so that we are not so often going through these damaging events and also, you know, having to put a lot of public money on the line to repair significant damage. I talk about these sorts of weather events as sort of the weather on steroids, and you'll hear it's not possible to say with such precision that any one storm is the result of climate change. But we know that climate change makes the weather more intense. So if you're a baseball player and you're taking steroids, it helps you hit a home run more often than you would otherwise. And that's the effect of climate change. It makes us more likely to see these home run Category 5 storms than what would otherwise occur.
In a few words, I'd like to ask you to sum up what we should take away from Climate Week, or what is expected to happen as a result of Climate Week.
Well, I think we'll hear a little bit more detail from the United States on what exactly is their plan. And my message to Canadians is that we really should be proud of our governments who are at the leading edge of these conversations, and we should continue our course irrespective of Donald Trump's opinion on climate science. The markets are moving, governments are moving, and really the world will continue to move forward on climate action with or without the United States. Of course, we would always prefer to have such a big, powerful country like the United States as part of the talks. But if they're going to back out, then we need to continue to move forward. So I think that that will be the driving message coming out of Climate Week.
Erin Flanagan, thank you very much for this.
Thank you so much for having me.